you would, get your Bibles and turn to the book of Ezekiel. The book of Ezekiel is where we will be this evening as we consider some things that the prophet of old has to say that are relevant even to us today. In fact, goals this evening for our lesson are both to remind us of our accountability, and also maybe a secondary goal, we might call it, is a reminder that the things that are contained in the Old Testament scriptures are things that are of benefit to us, that help us in our journey today. And they correlate or coincide or however you want to use that term, they work together with the things we find in the New Testament. We've been talking in our Bible class this morning about the teaching that the Apostle Paul wanted Timothy to give and wanted to give his attention to, and how it was the Scriptures that had been preserved, and Timothy had known them from his youth up. And so it had to have been the Old Testament Scriptures that Paul was considering that he wanted the young man Timothy to give devotion to and to study as he went about doing his preaching and convincing others of their need to give their life to the Lord. And so we hope, at least my hope this evening, is that by looking at some things that we find in some Old Testament Scriptures and looking at how they fit with things in the New Testament, we can get some understanding of how it is good for us to go back and read these things. If you would, turn to Ezekiel chapter 33, because we want to begin there. In Ezekiel chapter 33, I want to read the first 9 verses as we begin our lesson this evening. Ezekiel certainly being a prophet of God sent to Israel. And we find in verse 1 of chapter 33, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, speak to the sons of your people, and say to them, If I bring a sword upon the land, and the people of the land take one man from among them, and make him their watchman, and he sees the sword coming upon the land, and blows on the trumpet, and warns the people, then he who hears the sound of the trumpet, and does not take warning, and a sword comes and takes him away, his blood will be on his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet, but did not take warning, his blood will be on himself. But had he taken warning, he would have delivered his life. But if the watchman sees the sword coming and does not blow the trumpet, and the people are not warned, and the sword comes and takes a person from them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood I will require from the watchman's hand. Now as for you, son of man, I have appointed you a watchman for the house of Israel. So you will hear a message from my mouth and give them warning from me. When I say to the wicked, O wicked man, you will surely die, and you do not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require from your hand. But if you, on your part, warn a wicked man to turn from his way, and he does not turn from his way, he will die in his iniquity, but you have delivered your life. I want to start with that passage from Ezekiel chapter 33, and we're going to go back and read in that chapter again a little later in the lesson, because there are some continuing thoughts there that tie with the other things we want to talk about. But I wanted to start with that because the warning that God gave to Ezekiel is a warning that we need to heed ourselves. We turn over to the book of Galatians, and we read there in Galatians chapter 6 that we have a responsibility to correct those that are living wrongfully. If a brother sees another brother in error and he turns him from that, he saved his soul. Time and time again, we're given that instruction. So we are all watchmen. We have all been given the responsibility to warn people of sin, not just our brethren, but the world itself. We have an obligation. And if we do not warn people and they are lost, it's going to fall on us. If we warn them and they're lost, it's all on them. But if we don't warn them and they are lost, at least a part of that, falls back on us. The teachings that we find there in Ezekiel 33, verses 1 through 9, we need to understand fit our situation just as much today as they did in the days of Ezekiel. Now, if you would turn back to Ezekiel chapter 18, and we'll spend a great deal of our time this evening looking at what Ezekiel has given to him in the way of instruction here in chapter 18. In fact, it's this chapter and instruction that God gave to Ezekiel here in this point, that in this chapter, that is what prompted me to do this lesson along these lines. And actually, I titled this lesson, Warning About Sour Grapes. I don't know if that fits very well what we're going to talk about, but when I start reading here, I think you'll pick up on it. In Ezekiel chapter 18, beginning in verse 1, then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, what do you mean by using this proverb concerning the land of Israel, saying, the fathers eat the sour grapes, but the children's teeth are set on edge? Understand a little bit about that statement and that prophecy. Certainly, we need to recognize, we all know what it is like to eat sour grapes. And, of course, the point that's being made there is that Israel was teaching that a man's sons was going to suffer for his iniquity. That if David was an evil king, then his son Absalom and Solomon would suffer death because of what David had done. But God says that is not the case. We have a similar situation or a similar phrase written for us in the book of Jeremiah. In Jeremiah chapter 31, beginning with verse 29. Jeremiah 31 and verse 29. In those days they will not say again, the fathers have eaten sour grapes and the children's teeth are set on edge, but everyone will die for his own iniquity. Each man who eats the sour grapes, his teeth will be set on edge. And I turn over there to that passage because this is one of the passages that ties this teaching to the new covenant. Look at the verse 27 there in Jeremiah chapter 31. Behold, days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will sow the house of Israel and the house of Judah with seed of man and the seed of beast, as I've watched over them to pluck up and to break down, to overthrow and to destroy, and to bring disaster. So I will watch over them to build and to plant, declares the Lord. Now go down to verse 31. Behold, days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not like the covenant which I made with their fathers in the day I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt. My covenant which they broke, although I was husband to them, declares the Lord. But this is the covenant which I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them, and in their heart I will write it, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. They will not teach again each man his neighbor and each man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they will all know me, from the last of them to the greatest of them, declares the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity and their sin will I remember no more. Jeremiah, who was a prophet, not exactly with Ezekiel, but along in the same general time frame in the nation of Israel and Judah, ties this idea together with the new covenant, the changes that were going to come about. And when we look at what Jeremiah has to say there about this new covenant that God is going to have with his people, it impresses upon us the individuality of responsibility, which is what Ezekiel chapter 18 deals with. Back in Ezekiel chapter 18, beginning in verse 3 now, as I live, declares the Lord God, you are surely not going to use this proverb in Israel anymore. Behold, all souls are mine. The soul of the father as well as the soul of the son is mine. The soul who sins, it will die. And I don't know whether your Bible has references in it, but if it does, you may find a reference to that statement in that verse, to Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, where Paul told the Roman brethren, the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. God says the soul that sins will suffer the consequences of their sin. And he spends much of the rest of the chapter explaining this. And maybe you look at this and think, well, that's a lot of repetitive reading there or a lot of things going on. But I want us to look at what God told the Israelites through Ezekiel, because I think it's an important concept for us to completely understand. And there are some things that he makes mention here as he talks about these that match up with the teachings that we find throughout Scripture and are a reminder of us regarding what it means to be a righteous or to be a wicked person. In verse 5 of Ezekiel chapter 18, "But if a man is righteous and practices justice and righteousness and does not eat at the mountain shrines or lift up his eyes to the idols of the house of Israel or defile his neighbor's wife or approach a woman during her period, if a man does not oppress anyone but restores to the debtor his pledge, does not commit robbery, but gives his bread to the hungry and covers the naked with clothing, if he does not lend money on interest or take increase, if he keeps his hand from iniquity and executes true justice between man and man, if he walks in my statutes and my ordinances so as to deal faithfully, he is righteous and will surely live, declares the Lord." Now, as I read through those things that God lists there as he gives this instruction to Ezekiel, the son of man here, that he's talking to, did you make connection between the things that he was talking about there and some of the things that maybe we looked at this morning are the fruits of unrighteousness? That he avoids those things? In Romans chapter 8 and verse 1, the Apostle Paul said, "Therefore there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus." And certainly we recognize that in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, Paul calls out that the gospel is the power of God to salvation. In verse 17, "For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the righteous man shall live by faith." When God spoke to Ezekiel and gave him a message to give to the Israelites, he said, if a man is righteous, he shall live. That man will live. But I want us to take note that righteousness is more than not doing bad things. It also included doing right things. It's not enough to leave off the evil. In order for us to be righteous in the sight of God, we've got to keep His commandments. He continues in verse 10, "Then he may have a violent son who sheds blood and who does any of these things to a brother, though he himself do not do any of these things. That is, he even eats at the mountain shrines and defiles his neighbor's wife, oppresses the poor and needy, commits robbery, does not restore a pledge, but lifts up his eyes to the idols and commits abomination. He lends money on interest and takes increase. Will he live? He will not live. He has committed all these abominations. He will surely be put to death. His blood will be on his own head. Now behold, he has a son." Just a moment and remember what we've got here. We've got a fellow that was righteous, lived a righteous life. Then he had a son that was unrighteous. And now this unrighteous son has a son. He has a son who has observed all his father's sins which he committed, and observing, does not do likewise. He does not eat at the mountain shrines, nor lift up his eyes to the idols of the house of Israel, or defile his neighbor's wife, or oppress anyone, or retain a pledge, or commit robbery, but he gives his bread to the hungry and covers the naked with clothing. He keeps his hand from the poor, does not take interest or increase, but executes my ordinances and walks in my statutes. He will not die for his father's iniquity. He will surely live. Three instances. A father, or we look at this as a whole, a grandfather who was righteous, a father who was wicked, and a son who was righteous. And the two who were righteous live, the one who is wicked dies. The wicked deeds of this one person have no effect on those righteous who came before or after him. Certainly, the lesson for us should be clear. As we find throughout the pages of Scripture, we will suffer for our unrighteousness. In Romans chapter 2, beginning in verse 5 and reading through verse 8, Paul said, "But because of your stubbornness and unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath for yourself in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to each person according to his deeds. To those who by perseverance in doing good seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. But to those who are selfishly ambitious and do not obey the truth but obey unrighteousness, wrath and indignation." Each one will suffer for their own actions and deeds. Verse 18, continuing in Ezekiel chapter 18, "As for his father, because he practiced extortion, robbed his brother, and did what was not good among his people, behold, he will die for his iniquity." Yet, you say, why should the son not bear the punishment for the father's iniquity? When the Son has practiced justice and righteousness and has observed all my statutes and done them, he shall surely live. The person who sins will die. The Son will not bear the punishment for the Father's iniquity, nor will the Father bear the punishment for the Son's iniquity. The righteousness of the righteous will be upon himself, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon himself. Now I want us to turn back over to Ezekiel chapter 33 and continue looking at what God reveals here in regards to these things, because he touches on it just a little bit differently here than he has thus far. In Ezekiel chapter 33, beginning in verse 10, "Now, as for you, son of man, say to the house of Israel, thus you have spoken, saying, surely our transgressions and our sins are upon us, and we're rotting away in them. How then can we survive? Say to them, as I live, declares the Lord God, I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but rather that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn back from your evil ways. Why then will you die, O house of Israel? And you, son of man, say to your fellow citizens, the righteousness of the righteous man will not deliver him in the day of his transgression. And as for the wickedness of the wicked, he will not stumble because of it in the day when he turns from his wickedness. Whereas a righteous man will not be able to live by his righteousness on the day when he commits sin. When I say to the righteous, he will surely live, and he so trusts in his righteousness that he commits iniquity, none of his righteous deeds will be remembered. But in that same iniquity of his which he has committed, he will die." I don't know about you, but when I read that verse, I hear Paul's statement, "Let him who thinks he stands take heed, lest he fall." Just because we have been righteous will not cause God to overlook iniquity in our life. Continuing in verse 14, "But when I say to the wicked, you will surely die, and he turns from his sin and practices justice and righteousness, if a wicked man restores a pledge, pays back what he has taken by robbery, walks by the statutes which ensure life without committing iniquity, he shall surely live, he shall not die. None of his sins that he has committed will be remembered against him. He has practiced justice and righteousness. He will surely live." John tells us that if we confess our sins to God, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. No matter what our condition may have been, and we've talked about this in other lessons, no matter how evil we may have been in the past, if we will submit ourselves to the will of God, all of that evil is wiped away as if it had never been. And understand, oftentimes we tend to want to turn to the New Testament for this, but that same teaching is found in the prophets and in the teaching that was given to Israel. That's why the Apostle Paul could tell the young man Timothy, study the Scriptures that you've always studied, because they lead man to understand righteousness. Are there differences between the Old Covenant and the New? Yes, the book of Hebrews emphasizes that and shows us that we need to submit ourselves to the law of Christ. But the Old Testament covenant and the prophets and the laws that are written there are certainly beneficial for our learning. These passages in Ezekiel repeat the things that we find throughout the pages of the New Testament Scriptures. Just a few more verses in Ezekiel chapter 33 and verse 17. Yet your fellow citizens say the way of the Lord is not right, when it is their way that is not right. When the righteous turns from his righteousness and commits iniquity, then he shall die in it. But when the wicked turns from his wickedness and practices justice and righteousness, he will live by them. Yet you say the way of the Lord is not right. O house of Israel, I will judge you, each of you, according to his ways. We have many in the world today who would claim that if they do enough good, they can get to heaven, no matter how much they may have done bad. If they're very, very good, and they mess up a few times, no matter when that mess up happens, God's going to send them to heaven. God's going to allow them to be saved. Unfortunately, sometimes this has become an attitude of those who are part of are members of the body of Christ. I've been a Christian for a long time. I've always done what was right. If I slip up now because I don't pay as close attention as I used to, God's not going to hold that against me. And so we don't pay as close attention to how we conduct ourselves as we grow older. We begin to think, I've got so much righteousness behind me that I don't have to worry. God says all the righteousness you may have done can be wiped out with one sin. You'll be held accountable for all eternity. And by the same token, in the same teaching, all the wickedness that you may have lived throughout your life, if you will turn away from it and come back to God, God will wipe it away as if it had never been. It'll be gone. Sometimes we hesitate to talk to people because we think they've just been too wicked. Sometimes people hesitate to listen because they've been too wicked. But the Word, even the Word of the prophets to the nation of Israel, tells us that if we change to serve God, that's what makes the difference. The righteous will live because of his righteousness, and the wicked will die because of his wickedness. If the wicked man turns from his sins, in Ezekiel 18 again in verse 21, which he has committed and observes all my statutes and practices justice and righteousness, he shall surely live and he shall not die. All his transgressions which he's committed will not be remembered against him. Because of his righteousness which he has practiced, he will live. Do I have any pleasure in the death of the wicked, declares the Lord God, rather than that he should turn from his ways and live? What did Peter tell us in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9? The Lord is not slack in his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering or patient towards you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. God wants everyone to be saved, but it's entirely dependent upon how we conduct ourselves. When a righteous man turns away from his righteousness, commits iniquity, and does according to all the abominations that the wicked man does, will he live? All his righteous deeds which he has done will not be remembered for his treachery which he has committed and his sin which he has committed. For them he will die. Yet you say the way of the Lord is not right. Hear now, O house of Israel, is my way not right? Is it not your ways that are not right? When a righteous man turns away from his righteousness, commits iniquity, and dies because of it, for his iniquity which he has committed, he will die. Again, when a wicked man turns away from his wickedness which he has committed and practices justice and righteousness, he will save his life. Because he considered and turned away from all his transgressions which he had committed, he shall surely live, he shall not die. But the house of Israel says, the ways of the Lord are not right. Are my ways not right, O house of Israel? Is it not your ways that are not right? The ways of God teach that if a man is righteous, he lives. And if he's wicked, he dies. If his son is wicked and he is righteous, he still lives. And his son dies. If his father is wicked, his father dies. Yet the righteous man still lives. If the righteous man turns wicked, he dies. If the wicked man turns righteous, he lives. Yet the teaching that we receive from mankind and the attitude that we sometimes show forth from ourselves is, as long as I've got enough righteousness piled up behind me, I can get away with a little wickedness and still be all right. We need to be careful of such attitudes. It's what brought Israel to their destruction. Putting so much trust in their past righteousness that they weren't careful about their continued actions. And they suffered the consequences. When God said, you will die, He talked about literal death for these people. They lost their lives. They lost their land. They lost everything. Because they were wicked. It was the righteous that survived. The righteous who were brought back as a remnant. Verse 30 of Ezekiel chapter 18, therefore I will judge you, O house of Israel. Each according to his conduct, declares the Lord God. Repent and turn away from your transgressions, so that iniquity may not become a stumbling block to you. Cast away from you all your transgressions which you have committed, and make yourself a new heart and a new spirit. For why will you die, O house of Israel? For I have no pleasure in the death of anyone who dies, declares the Lord God. Therefore, repent and live. The desire of God for everyone is that we enter into eternity justified and right, because we lived righteous and upright lives here. Because we did not do the evil things, and we made sure that we did the righteous things. We followed the commands of God. Solomon long ago, in closing his Ecclesiastes, his teachings from his wisdom, said the conclusion, when all has been heard, fear God and keep His commandments. Because this applies to everyone. For God will bring every act to judgment, everything which is hidden, whether it is good or evil. Or as the Apostle Paul put it in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may be recompensed for his deeds in the body, according to what he has done, whether good or bad. The record of the words of the prophet Ezekiel impress upon us the need to make sure that I am righteous. They impress upon us the knowledge that your unrighteousness will not hurt my righteousness, will not keep me from salvation. My righteousness will not take care of your unrighteousness. Each person is responsible for himself. It also teaches us that righteousness is more than just not doing bad. It's following the commands of God. It's doing what God has laid out for you to do. And it is what's happening today in our life that determines where we spend eternity. You may have been a Christian for decades. And I hope you continue to be a Christian for decades more. You shall live by that. But if you turn away from Christ, those decades of Christianity you will not save. You may have been the worst person ever to walk on the face of the earth, but when you turned yourself away from wickedness and came to God, you were saved. Cleansed of sin and prepared to meet God in judgment. It's all up to you. But let's also not forget what we read at the beginning. We're watching over one another. We have a responsibility to proclaim the message of Jesus to the lost and dying world. If we do not, and they are lost, so accountability falls upon us, not for their wickedness, but for our lack in warning them that the sword is coming. Look diligently in your own heart and ensure that it is in accordance with the will of God. Make sure that you're doing your best to warn others. And let's make sure we keep ourselves from wickedness and keep ourselves righteous and holy in the sight of God so that we can live and not die. If you look this evening and find there's something in your life that's amiss and turn to assist someone with standing in the sanctuary of the church.